So nefarious, so nefarious. Get it?
Octavarius, so nefarious. Eight legs and a wicked arm. Octavarius descended from Planet X, ready to save our planet from harm.
He'll make you laugh, he'll make you cry, but most importantly, he's gonna save your life.
He'll let him speak for himself, he's got a lot to say. Pass him the mic and get ready to sway.
Well, I gotta start it sometime, don't I?
We gotta stop talking about porn.
You're talking about the bang bus at the beginning of the podcast?
Hey, everybody!
Look, here's the thing. Yes, I know I was talking about the bang bus. If you don't know what a bang bus is by now,
bang bus? No, it's
or the bang.
What a bang bus. Like they're just driving around banging. And you can just find
if
one.
If you don't know what the bang bus is by now, then you are behind with the times. It's been referenced in like 3 Judd Apatow films already. I think, what did they call it? Like, it was in Superbad. It was like Sexy Van or something like
something
that.
Mm-hmm. Welcome, everybody, to the Octavarius Podcast. This is episode 63 of the podcast. And without any further ado, and talking about bang buses, let's start at the far end of the room and sound off.
Hey, everybody, it's Brian Wolf.
How's everyone doing? It's LP.
How's it going? It's Cloud.
Hello, I am Scott.
Howdy, it's Lauren.
You're talking with Tiz.
Joanne and Castelvi's back.
Yeah, and don't forget about me, Chris.
Welcome back, Castelvi.
How you doing?
Yeah. Good, thank you for asking.
Were you gone last week?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, he was gone last week.
I don't remember that.
Probably
he was
week
very
before.
Busy.
Again, welcome to those of you who are on livestream.com/Octavarius, joining in the chat room with the live podcast. If you're not listening to the podcast live and you're just downloading this from the website or iTunes, check out the live podcast sometimes. It's a good time.
It's
We interact with y'all while we are talking about bullshit. And with that, let me just reach into the mailbag for today.
Right, we found it.
Oh my god.
Yep.
What?
The mailbag is here.
It looks like an actual letter.
Yeah,
yeah, let's
see. Holy moly, what is going on?
Well, Mark's gone, so.
All right, this comes to us from Jeffrey Smith from Chicago, Illinois. And
Hey, Jeff.
Jeffrey says, "Hey guys, I heard that you accept podcast question submissions. I just sent this mail to info@octavarius.com. I like magic. Do you guys like magic? Signed, Jeffrey Smith, Chicago, Illinois."
Wow.
Oh, what's P.S. What's up with that?
I was
God
really hoping
you,
that
Jeffrey
wasn't
Smith.
Gonna be
God
in there.
Bless
can,
you.
Can I? Let's start before we, because magic is.
Wait, Jeff Smith, didn't he write Bone? Yeah, Jeff Smith wrote Bone.
This is Jeffrey Smith.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
Very common name.
I love he wrote that, the television show Bones.
I'd like to. I'd like to point out that the very concept of being able to podcast or just being able to like put all this stuff in invisible air and have people on the other side of the world read it. People from a time not too far ago, too far in the past, would consider that magic.
Yeah.
That you can just create something and then instantly. Anyone in the world can listen. Like, that's magic, right?
No, it's not. It's dumb internet.
Dumb internet?
Internet is magic.
I agree.
Well, no.
It's so boring and mundane to me now, because I live with it my whole life. Not my whole life, but most of it.
But it's basically like any technology from any period in time, you take it back like 40 or 50 years, people will perceive that as magic. Like, bring internet to like the 1920s. Fucking, we are warlocks.
Send him a light bulb, though,
that's,
please.
That's like, that's like half.
Holy
the,
shit!
If that's like half the jokes in all of those takes on Connecticut Yankee and King Arthur's Court, or Kid and King Arthur's Court, or Black Knight. Half
the very
jokes,
popular Black Knight.
Black Knight with Martin Lawrence.
What device is this, warlock?
It's gonna be a gun for me.
That's the thing, like. Warlocks, witches, sorcerers, like, they actually existed as people in for real's life.
Yeah.
So do you think it's possible that maybe in, like, secret parts of the world it still goes on, but we're all just either too skeptical?
What goes on?
Like, real magic.
Wait, real magic?
It's not real magic. It's they just believe that it's
just
magic.
Trickery.
Yeah, it's just tricksters. That's what they were back
then.
Stupid
fools.
I believe with you, Lisa.
So do you believe that?
Yeah, people should never say what she believed, if anything.
So,
yeah,
all right.
I didn't say any of it. I just think, like, do you think that maybe there's still some of that old world, like, quote-unquote magic
when
or
I,
whatever they did still in existence, but, like, our culture is just so skeptical to believe any
when,
of
when
that
When I went
at
to
all.
Miami, we went to this place called Calle Ocho, 8th Street.
Uh-huh.
Where there you can see a lot of like the old Cuban women doing Santeria, and
uh-huh.
they still believe that it's real. It's like, you know, it's Santeria is like the Cuban form of voodoo.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, I think I've discovered what's happened in this conversation. I think Lisa believes in magic and nobody else.
No,
does.
No,
Lauren, we're
not,
we're not there
too.
Yet.
Yeah. No, Lauren believes
about
it.
Yeah, Lauren
I'm
already said that she believes in magic.
Very much.
So you
so.
Did not discover.
Yeah, yeah.
Have any of you guys ever been into magic, like doing magic tricks?
Yes.
Yeah.
When my parents took the whole family on vacation to Las Vegas when I was 13 or 14.
Doesn't Vegas just make you want to do magic?
It does. It totally does.
As a kid, especially.
Well, yes, and we went to the Monte Carlo hotel and casino, which is like their whole deal is magic. It's magic
themed.
Is
that the Lance Burton one?
Yes. And
the king of card tricks.
Yes, and we saw Lance Burton.
You saw Lance
so
Burton
we
live?
Were,
That's
we were
quite
at,
the show.
Yeah, dude, we were at the hotel and casino for magic, seeing Lance Burton, like the house magician for that place. And of course, when you can't leave that theater without going into the gift shop, which is nothing but fucking magic tricks.
And he has a line of card tricks.
Yeah.
His Lance Burton card tricks are pretty badass. Did you buy one?
Well, my parents bought me the, like, deluxe magic set.
Oh,
what?
Nice.
So people.
Yeah,
that's
so you get
awesome.
the three foam balls. I'm going to spoil so many things.
That's okay.
You get the three foam balls that you can switch to different cups real fast.
That's
because
so
you
cool.
because you compress them in your hand real easily. It came with the one deck of cards that was slightly the edges were slightly off kiltered, so
yeah, they're a little cut.
Yeah, you flip it one way on the one cut, and it's all three of clubs, and you flip it the other way, and it's our standard deck of cards.
I still own my deck. That's like that. It's in my desk drawer right now.
Yeah,
so
every once
in
a while,
in
just
car
for
funsies. Right,
is that the Svengali deck? Is that what that's called?
Yeah, the Svengali deck. It's
yeah.
It's one of the best tricks ever, because you can use that deck for just about anything. And if you, one of the best things about magic as a kid. That I always remember is just it teaches you to really it's all in the presentation of things.
It definitely is. Actually, in Woodfield Mall, they had a kiosk that was just magic tricks.
I remember
yeah,
that.
I remember
and
that.
I remember the big trick that really enticed me and really wanted me to get in. It was the thumb.
It was the thumb.
It was the it's
such
a light.
Good trick.
It's a big like reddish pink light that you can pass from one hand to another, and you can make it go in like different parts of your body and stuff. So you would make a big ball of glowing light go through one ear and out the other, and you pay like $25 for the secret, and you buy it, and they bring you in like the secret room with the curtain, and they say, "Hey, it's a plastic thumb that lights up when you press it. If you want it to look real cool, you need two of them." So I bought two of them, and me and a buddy each had one. Where we had a thing going where we would throw the magic ball of light back and forth, like across the auditorium and shit. People were mesmerized.
Yeah,
you know,
wow.
that's a pretty cool trick if you don't know what it is.
And
yeah,
you did magic as a kid too, Scott?
Yeah, I used to order. I don't know if you guys ever remember these, and I don't even know where I got them from, but they were like, do you remember how Funko Land prices used to come? I'm like that big kind of old recycled
yes, I do,
newspaper.
And I do remember Funko Land.
Oh, yeah.
Dude,
yeah.
Funko
well,
Land was huge.
This has nothing to do with Funko Land. It was just trying to
Let's
get
talk
a
about Funko Land.
It's the official Funko Land podcast.
So they had all these different magic tricks you can buy, and I begged my parents. I can't remember how old it was. Maybe like 11. I begged my parents to get a couple of them, and what they let me get was smoke from your fingertips and the finger chopper. Did you guys know this one?
No.
Wait,
okay.
is that the like the little guillotine?
It's a little guillotine. Okay.
Yeah,
so
yeah, I do remember that.
The way the trick works, for those of you who don't know, is it's a mini guillotine with two holes in it. And what you do is you put a carrot in each of the holes and you go, look, it's a real guillotine. And you smash down on it and it chops both carrots in half. And then you put your finger in one hole and put a carrot in the other, smash down on it again, and it chops the carrot and your finger is fine. And if you want to know the trick.
I do.
It's just the blade is like an L-shaped blade, and when you push it down a certain way, it bends into the frame, and the blade goes under it. Yeah, the secondary blade goes under, if that makes sense.
Well, that's still a little dangerous for your chest.
Yeah, is there a potential to fuck it up?
No, not really at all.
See, that's the thing about being a child is like, and like we're talking about these like ancient civilizations and stuff, when you don't know anything, it's so much easier to like fool people with magic tricks.
Yeah.
Like I remember like, you know, your dad, like, you know, the more you learn about the world, the more things make sense. But when you're a little kid and you're sitting there at the red light, you don't realize your dad's looking at the light that's, you know, now yellow. And he just goes, okay, I'm going to make the light turn green. And he points and makes the light turn green. You go, how the hell did he do that? Yeah. And it's just because they know more than you.
But, you know, there are certain magic tricks that will always appear as magic to us. That, like the cup and the ball trick.
Yeah, I had that one.
The cup and the ball trick. They showed this on one of my favorite PBS shows, Nova Science Now.
Love
with
it.
Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Oh, he's great.
And he had Teller from Penn and Teller. Teller is the silent one, for those of you keeping score at home. And Teller did the cup and the ball trick, one with the regular cups. But then he did it again with
clear cups.
Clear cups.
Uh-huh.
So everybody could see through, you know, where the balls are going. And Teller, you know, at doing the trick, felt that it was so obvious to everybody what he's doing if you just look at his hands. But one thing that we always do as humans, and one thing we forget about that's very key to the magician's, you know, act, is their face. We look at the magician's face, and it's something that we can't help.
Yeah.
No matter how hard you try and focus on the cups and the balls and everything, you really you always have to look up and look at that magician's face. If Teller wore a mask or we had it covered, we would easily be able to focus on that. But because we are innately social beings, or you know, we're always, you know, we want to check out who's doing this stuff, we look up at their eyes and their face and we miss those things.
Isn't
and so
the,
it's
the sexy assistant
to
too?
Us.
Isn't that
the
why
sexy
they
assistant?
They always
very
have a sexy
important.
Assistant. So you're always looking at the sexy lady instead of trying
instead
to figure
of,
out what's actually happening.
That's why she wears a sparkly outfit instead
yep.
of, you know, just a, you know, a house coat or whatever.
Instead of her rags. You know, she goes
yeah,
she dolls herself up.
Do you guys know who the Amazing Jonathan is?
Yeah.
Oh,
yes. I love the Amazing Jonathan.
Yeah.
What a funny comedian.
I saw the Amazing Jonathan when I was 14 years
oh,
old.
Oh, you
he
saw
the
bad
dude, that man. Must have blew your fucking
oh,
mind. I would have loved seeing Amazing Jonathan.
I
what
had
is
seen,
the, for those of us who don't know, Scott, what does the Amazing Jonathan do?
He's like he's a magician comedian, and his set is really funny. He does a lot of the same tricks. He's been doing them for years.
He has that wonderful assistant,
funny.
Too.
It's his wife. It's his wife.
Assistants, actually.
Oh, really?
When I saw it, it was his wife. But anyways, you look him up on the internet. He's hilarious. So he has this trick where he takes a deck of cards and he fans them real wide and you can see him falling. And he's got a volunteer up on the stage and he says, this is an ordinary deck of cards, right? And the guy's like, yeah. And then he takes them and he waves them around his head and you can see that they're all tied together. And he's like, well, how the hell do you explain that then? So it's just this funny trick deck that he uses for this one gag. And he just throws his props on the stage. So after the show, he was nice enough to sign autographs for people. He'd just line up in front of the stage and go meet him. And here I am, this 14-year-old punk kid, and I see this trick deck like 2 inches away from me.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, I could just take this and stick it in my pocket, and that would be awesome. So I go to grab it, and I hear him go, what the fuck are you doing, kid? And I'm like, oh. And he signs an autograph for me. He's just, get the fuck out of here. And I was like, oh, no.
Get the fuck out of my face.
The Amazing
Love
Jonathan.
The Amazing Jonathan. And then he
me.
Vanished into a puff of smoke.
Oh, no.
He did. How did you know? No, but that it was he's a great, great performer.
I asked.
Yeah, it's okay. You're still a good guy, Scott.
I
like
appreciate
you.
That.
I asked on the social media feeds who our fans' favorite magic man is, wink. And Mark Robinson says Doug Henning.
I don't.
Now, I don't, most of us don't know who that
God,
is, but upon review, Chris Bogue has found that he was a magician from the 1940s who co-wrote the biography with about Harry Houdini.
Oh.
Apparently has some sort of famous zigzag trick that is in the museums at present. But other than that, I have no idea who this
guy
is.
Wait, the zigzag trick, is that the one where you go in the case and then they shift your body?
It's possible.
I don't know.
That was a great trick. Says. You know, and one thing I love about our show, the Octavarius show, is that we've had magicians open for us. I love magician. I love magic acts. And yeah, well, we had John, and hopefully we can have John back, John Stirk, who's a great magician.
John Stirk is awesome.
I actually got to meet another fun magician who's very funny as well, named Brett Schneider, who I'd like to bring in. I love magic acts. It just makes me... There's something about magic acts that just make me happy. I enjoy them. And there's something about magicians that make me happy because they're so sassy.
So if there are any magicians out there who would like to open for our show, just write to us at info@octavarius.com. Subject line, I am a magician and I would like to open for you guys, maybe.
Well, I think the magic is impressive because magic is the ultimate, I can do something you can't do.
Yeah,
like we were talking, like when you're a kid,
and also
the magic
your personality shines through too.
Yeah, well, because you get to be cocky. You're cocky because you're doing something, and it's impressive, but nobody can explain why you do it.
Yeah, even when like Chris Angel lifts himself 6 inches off of the ground and
he's
just levitates, like I don't believe that is actual magic. But
I thought,
still,
I thought that was David Blaine that levitates, not Chris Angel.
Chris Angel
does it too. What a fucking poser!
I know, dude. But
David
it's like,
did it first.
But still, it's like, oh, you. I know you're doing something. I know it's a trick, but fuck it. I can't make people think that. So you're better than me, I guess. Yeah.
It's also, we like magicians because we like, the reason that they're cocky is because they're fooling us.
Yeah,
it's a trick. That's why it's a magic trick. It's because we get fooled, and they know that we're looking at the wrong place. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, well, it's okay. You know, it's all just fun.
I get upset when, like, I was a big fan of David Blaine when he first came out. Because it was like magic I'd never really seen before. Like, he does crazy stuff. Like, he'll put a card in your ass. And he'll do that. And you'll be like, there's no way.
How'd you get that card in my ass?
How did you get that card in my ass?
Close my mind.
And
remember when Michael Jackson told the world that David Blaine's magic was real and he believed in him?
Really?
What?
I don't remember.
That was when he accepted that MTV award.
Oh.
Yeah, he gave David Blaine a shout out when he thought it was the Artist of the Millennium award, but it was like they just gave him an award just so he'd show up.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
And Michael Jackson said, "David Blaine, I believe in you and your magic is real." Like that like he gave a magician a shout out.
He could still
I
suppose he could still be talking about like the magic of the heart or the magic
maybe
of imagination.
But
is out there.
I always get upset when he says, "Oh, I'm doing my next big magic trick," and it's just I can hold my breath for an hour.
Yeah.
That's not magic.
We've been
the guy that's like he goes underwater for like
yeah, that was what he did that one
how
time.
Does he
it's,
breathe?
It's feats of the human body. It's showing that the body can do more because Houdini used to do that. He'd lock himself up in a tank underwater while he'd be in a straitjacket, and then he would...
But that's the trick, though, is that he was in a straitjacket. How did he get out? Oh, he's magic.
But also, he was able to hold his breath for that long, too.
But that's never worth it. I mean, I guess the real danger was, how is he going to get out of the straitjacket while he's drowning?
So you're upset that David Blaine isn't in a jacket?
Yes, I want him in a straitjacket.
You want him in a straitjacket.
Or in handcuffs.
Yeah.
Something that he has to manage.
Yeah, something that would keep him from being able to survive.
Right.
I see.
Me and Chris investigated
this. I guess that is a little bit anticlimactic.
This zigzag illusion
by
Doug
Henning.
If you check our Octavarius, if you check the Facebook, you can see it.
Is it the one where they shift the body parts?
Yes, it
yes,
is.
That
in
is
box.
The zigzag. That's a great act.
They put in the blades, the big flat blades.
Yes.
They put them in there. Then they start twisting it around, and then they'll separate the boxes. They'll push the boxes to the side.
Yeah, and then you
and
have to...
the person's head is still in place.
Yeah.
The torso shifts.
And they usually have like a handkerchief and one hand, so they wave their hand to show that their hand is real.
Yeah, exactly.
That is such a great act.
How
you know where
that
I first saw that act?
It's magic.
It's very similar to the song "A Woman in Half," Drake.
Yeah,
similar.
Which I
very similar to the song.
You mean another
works.
Human?
Is in...
Yeah, there's
works.
A human in a big box, and they put blades in the box. The human's fine, and then they move the box segment. They trisect the box, and they move the segments as if the person's body were in it. there, now it's over. Now it's over there, and then they put them back together.
Mm. So just another multiple human trick.
Yeah, just those stupid human tricks.
Well, like I learned, since I was going to show Dracula, where we had a magician come in and like just do all these magic, or help us learn all these magic tricks to do in the show. And I learned that the craziest looking things are actually really simple. Like for one, we use a lot of duct tape. For another one, it was just magnets. And then there was just a black cloth that fell. And, like, so things that look really badass, like, oh, where'd that come from? How'd that happen? It's usually just, like, really janky stuff.
Has anyone seen the movie The Prestige?
I love
that movie.
It's great.
What a wonderful film that is.
About magic and magicians. And just, like, the most simple ones are have the utmost obvious, or the most complex ones have the most obvious solution.
Well, isn't that the thing, though? They don't like being called magicians. They call themselves illusionists. Because they're not actually
practicing. That's the illusionist.
Well, that's
the movie Illusionist.
Yeah.
it's different. That's not The Prestige. That's the magic movie.
I'm
it came out at the same time.
Like generally,
you're exactly right.
Penn and Teller don't call themselves magicians.
Well,
they say they're illusionists.
I think that only happened in the last maybe 30, 40 years.
Yeah.
Only because of that one magician who gave away all the secrets.
Oh, what's his name?
Valentino.
I don't know anything about him. Was he on the Fox special?
Yeah. You remember they did
Secrets
of Magic?
They did a Secrets of Magic. They also did a Secrets of Wrestling.
Yeah.
Now there's the internet.
Oh, what a dickhead. Yeah, the internet does change everything, but like, that was just one dude screaming out answers to everything. I remember that now.
Yeah.
I was upset when that happened.
As well you should have been.
Did you watch it?
For the wrestling one, I didn't watch the wrestling one, but I was upset that they did it, because my mom would, I would watch wrestling when I was a kid, and my mom would come in and be like, that's not real, you know. If he was hitting him, he'd be bleeding right now.
Aww.
I'm like, well, sometimes they do bleed. It's like, yeah, well, it's because they're cutting themselves. You shouldn't cut yourself.
Go to bed!
But, like, you know, deep inside, I knew, it's like, yeah, this can't be real, because there's no way Undertaker is a living dead person.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter, though.
Right, but then, and then that came out, and then my mom was like, yeah, see, I told you so. And I'm like, yeah, I know, but it's about the fun. It's like, I'm having fun when I'm watching it. The magician one, I watched it, because I didn't care. Because magicians, I always hate them, because they do fool me. And
you don't like being fooled.
I hate being fooled.
You like being right all the time.
I do.
Well, who doesn't?
Yeah.
I don't know. I enjoy the fun of magic, though, and I enjoy the fun of
wrestling.
Like I
said, like David Blaine.
I enjoy the fun of magic as well, but I do get frustrated by not being able to puzzle it out. Or, like, even if I can't even figure out, like, some of that Chris Angel bullshit. I'm like, I don't even have a theory.
Well, that's the thing. That's the key for me in magic is the magician himself. He has to be likable. Because I like pretending that dude's cool. I like Lance Burton. Because Lance Burton always has that slick black hair and it looks really cool. He always wears a sweet tux with white gloves. Mm-hmm. And like, he looks cool all the time. He always looks like perfectly tan. And, like, he always has good-looking assistant, and and he always has that funny line when he does that card thing, and you're like, oh, wow, Lance Burton, you are cool with magic. Everything else, he's probably lame. But I like pretending for, like, that 2 hours that Lance Burton's awesome. Just like, you know, it's fun to pretend that The Undertaker has risen from the dead only to fight for my entertainment.
Yeah. Real quick, I want to get to this on the live stream chat. User and longtime friend of the podcast, Boner3000, is enlightening us to the fact that Houdini, she says, Houdini had keys to everything. He was a locksmith. He literally had keys to everything.
Yes.
I think that's super cool.
A lot of times that like him and his crew would pay just guys at the jail that, you know, of the place he's going to be locked in tomorrow to give him the key for an hour. They'd make a wax mold of it, give him the key back, then he'd make his own key. Have it in his mouth and spit it out and unlock himself.
I think though we're missing the fact that being a magician is dangerous. Though a lot of magicians,
I'm not saying just because you cheat like that.
Do they die?
It's not easy. There's a famous.
There are magicians that die.
Yeah, there's a famous one.
The movie.
Yeah, The Prestige.
Yeah.
But there's another a famous one where a magician was going to bury himself alive. Which was a common trick, or not a common, but one that was going around at the time.
Uh-huh.
And it works fun. But his twist on it, he was going to do it in a glass coffin.
Uh-oh.
Uh, so that everyone could see that he was alive and in there.
But the
main problem was is the reason they did it with like boards or something because it would just equally distribute the weight. So what happened when they buried him, the glass broke, and so he died. He was smothered in the dirt.
My God.
Dirt and broken glass.
Yeah. And then, and this was like in the 30s or 40s, so it's like, well, he's dead. We're not going to dig fast enough.
Well, this trick sucks.
What a terrible time I would have.
Oh, that was the guys in Vegas.
It wasn't Siegfried, it was Roy.
Yeah, actually, I remember, I think when I went to Las Vegas, I want to say they weren't doing their show at that time because Roy was terribly injured with Tiger Attack.
I can't go to work, I have Tiger Attack.
Yeah, I dealing with live animals is weird. Yeah. I mean, they do the doves all the time. It is what it is. I guess there are a lot of doves that die in magic acts.
Oh yeah, fuck them.
And rabbits. See the Chris Angel episode. There's like only one only.
You can safely say no. I've never seen
with it. The elephant.
No.
The elephant.
What did he do to an elephant?
This I will never understand this trick. It makes me angry. So it was like some giant parking lot. They had all these people come and hold hands and make a circle in this outdoor parking lot. I think it was in Vegas somewhere.
Okay.
He's like, all right, in like blink of an eye, I'm going to make a real live living elephant appear in the middle of a circle, and you guys will be holding hands all the time so you can, you know, prove that nothing is going in and out, you know, and they had the whole parking lot checked out.
Anybody tell me if you see an elephant.
Yeah. And lo and behold, like, there's nothing, and then, like, 1 second later, there's a friggin' elephant.
What do you mean 1 second later, though? Like,
when they pulled the curtains down, right? I'm assuming there was curtains.
There's gotta be curtains.
Yeah, I'm sure they okay. put, like, some black cloth, and then they, like, pulled it away, and there's an elephant.
Tell me if anybody sees an elephant or sees me putting an elephant in the curtain.
And then it's like,
what? It was ridiculous.
Now, you're certain there's no elephant in the circle. Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Like, it's really hard to move an elephant at a quick pace.
Do you guys believe in
magic Harry Potter?
Well,
in what?
Going there, don't worry.
Oh, that's a good question.
That's kind of, I always...
I believe that they exist, like when like people.
But they're like
I want
that
to
you can
believe.
Be hypnotized.
Do you? Okay. Does everyone here? Do you think you could be hypnotized?
I saw a kid get hypnotized.
Yeah.
But do you think it was real?
This kid, he was hypnotized.
Did you ever go to a hypnot or like a show with a hypnotist?
Yeah.
And they say if you're in the because they like talk to you, and then like if you're in the audience, of course you're listening. It's like and they're like, oh yeah, feel free to. To just listen and do and follow my instructions as well. And I saw one at Six Flags.
And I saw one too, the lady?
Yeah, well, I don't know. It was a dude, and they hypnotized this group of people, as well as audience members were allowed to, you know, participate as well. And so then they'd say a magic word or a word, and then someone in the audience would get up and scream. But one time he was hypnotizing, he was on stage, he hypnotized all these people, like six people. And then he would push them, and they would go to sleep or some shit, whatever. So he went to push this one guy, and he's like, no. No. Like, he wasn't, he's like, no, man, this is bullshit.
Yeah, awesome. I mean, some people it doesn't work on.
Yeah, well, that's their cop-out.
You have to believe, they say you have to believe that you will be hypnotized. Yeah. So, like, if you're really skeptical about it, it's probably not going to work on you.
And so, and it seems like I went with a dude to a hypnotist show. It was, like, my freshman year in college.
And
it was a dude that lived on my floor.
Oh.
And he... got hypnotized, and he was not planning on that. And
that's not how his day.
It was really like it was really real.
And I think I get hypnotized.
Well, we had to deal with it later because the show ended, and he was still hypnotized.
No,
are you kidding?
Yeah, the hypnotist made him think.
Explain being hypnotized. What is he doing?
Well, the hypnotist made him think that it was like cool, like it was okay that he wore his shirt backwards or inside out. So he he walked around for like about, you know, 15, 20 minutes after the show with his shirt inside out. And people kept saying, dude, your shirt's inside out still. Why don't you fix it? And he'd be like, what are you talking about? It's fine.
Oh, no.
And he would keep insisting that his shirt was fine until we took him to the bathroom.
I don't know if I would mirror that his strangers shirt was... Were strangers saying this to him?
No, it was like it was me and our buddies from our floor. Okay. We'd be like, "Hey, Dave, you fucking shirt's inside out."
Maybe the guy, I don't know if that would be such of a big deal if I saw someone with his shirt inside out. I was like,
"Well, no. I didn't want to not say anything because he'd be like, "Why was my fucking shirt inside out?" Yeah, you got hypnotized, dude. Yeah.
But that's pretty. Like, pretty much any time.
Wait, did you tell him he was hypnotized? Did he know he had been hypnotized?
We explained it after he saw it in the mirror. Like we.
But when he went up on stage. And then went back down.
He didn't realize what he had been hypnotized for. He thought that nothing really happened and it didn't
work.
But
he knew he had experienced hypnosis.
Because when the hypnotist finished, he said, "Oh, sorry, it didn't work, you guys."
Yeah, at the end you say, you know, "I'll snap my fingers and you will remember nothing. But you will do this," right?
Yeah, and he would say, like, "Sorry, that didn't work, you guys. Yeah, everything was cool. You know, thank you for coming. And let's wait."
And then they go, "Bukah!" Boop, boop, and they start rubbing up on people and getting all crazy sexual because they were hypnotized.
Yeah.
It's what happens to everyone.
My dad got hypnotized to quit smoking, and that worked for him.
Oh, that's good for him.
You know whose life is full of paranoia? Is the guy that has to share a two-person apartment with a professional hypnotist.
Yeah.
You think there's just tricks everywhere?
I'm sure he'd be suspicious. Well, okay. Because if I shared a two-person place with a professional hypnotist...
Do you think the roommate would be that much of a dick? Like,
I would.
Well, here's the thing.
If you're a hypnotist, you would try to hypnotize your
roommate. Well, if I lived with a hypnotist, I think... And I knew like he was a professional hypnotist. I'd gone to see his shows and shit. I think just once at least I'd ask him like, "Hey, could you hypnotize me? Mm-hmm. I want to see what it's like. Could you hypnotize?" But then after I know that it works, every other day of my life with that guy is a constant like, "Hey, you didn't hypnotize me yesterday, did you? Did you fucking hypnotize me? I had a date last night.
Just don't break the barrier."
I'd have to do it once though.
Sleeping. Sometime you're gonna be around. You're gonna have one too many drinks, as we all know has happened. You're getting kind of lazy on the couch.
Be like,
maybe you haven't been doing the dishes as much lately. Maybe you've been kind of an asshole, and he's right there, and he's, you know, maybe you fucking hypnotize your roommate, and you make him do the dishes or something.
Hey,
that's
Dave.
Totally reasonable.
Dave, the dishes in the sink are all clean.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. did you hypnotize me to do those dishes?
What are you talking about?
No, dishes are all clean. I know you hate doing dishes. You didn't...
Yeah. I hate it. Can't stand it.
What did we do from like 2 to 5 today?
That shit is real, dude. That's
they
real.
Talked about that.
It's very manipulative.
Yeah, it's extremely manipulative.
Why did you talk? Oh, jeez.
What did they talk about it on, Lauren?
They touched on that topic of like someone not hypnotizing but bewitching somebody to not remember on Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Documentary when, Buffy the Vampire Slayer?
No, when Willow was a witch and her girlfriend,
yeah, of course.
Like they got into a fight and Willow did a spell to forget the fight and forget
okay,
the
that is so Willow.
Understanding like, so what is going to help us in understanding?
Well,
this?
So I'm just saying it's just an interesting point in like if you have magic or if you're a hypnotist or whatever it is and you have that like control and power on that other person that's super freaky and super scary because they can do
with
that
great
to you
power comes great responsibility.
This is true.
Yeah, you can fuck people up if you've got magic. Holy crap, you know, like because like there's so many villains, there's so many people who use magic and they can just use it for pure evil. And they're just, like, unstoppable.
The
like
sheer Voldemort number of quarters my uncle has pulled out of my ear. Jeez.
It
what
never
a bastard.
Ends.
Do you guys believe in curses?
No.
I want to.
I don't believe in anything like this.
I'm not really thrilled with the voodoo doll.
I was convinced.
Right
I was convinced for a while.
I can say that.
Well, we got to talk about it.
I was convinced for a while that this girl put
wrong with
a
you?
Wicca curse on me.
A Wicca curse?
To make me like her.
What?
Because
you knew a Wiccan girl?
Yeah, I knew a girl who was way into Wicca, and then I started liking her. Which, and I, to this day, don't get why I ever liked her.
That's crazy.
I know.
So
we need to talk about the voodoo doll that
Scott, don't!
God damn it, Scott!
I don't know who that is!
Please don't put the pin in the voodoo doll.
I just pulled it out.
Oh my god. We don't know the power.
Serious? Please leave it in.
All right, so
as we are speaking, Scott Danielson
Where was that?
Holding a voodoo doll
shit.
That Lauren Imony brought to the apartment.
Can you please put it back where it was?
I pulled it out.
There's a geisha in pain.
What did you pull in there?
It was supposed to be in?
So Lauren bought a voodoo
doll. That's the good pin. That's
and
the good
pin. Oh no, you pulled out the good pin.
So Lauren, this is a voodoo doll you got us out of your generosity from New Orleans, yes?
Yeah.
Where
it's
like,
a big like voodoo city there is.
I know, so like the potential for that to be real is more so than if you bought this in like Barrington.
And what's more,
you pull the pin out of our voodoo doll.
What's more stressing is it's a voodoo doll of us.
I don't want that.
Yeah, of Octavarius.
So
it's the good pin. I'll put it back in.
There's no such
You don't know where to put it back in. You're not a voodoo doctor.
You
did not go to voodoo medical school for nothing.
I got to tell you, I love its orange bag of air.
Wait, why is it Octavarius voodoo doll?
Why indeed?
Lauren, what information did you get from this voodoo priestess, I assume?
Can we just bring up the fact that this voodoo doll still has its tag on it? I'm not really that worried about it.
It's a corporate voodoo doll. Everything's corporate now. We're practically owned by GE just because.
Yeah, Octavarius is officially the sole property of GE now. We forgot to tell you guys.
Yeah, yeah.
We've been acquired.
It's not a big deal.
They got us.
Uh-oh, Scott said it. It's right.
How do you use the voodoo doll?
Yeah, that, and then that's what I said. I was like, why would it need instructions?
Step one. Lie down the voodoo doll on table or hang on the wall.
On table.
Step two.
On table.
Close your eyes and concentrate deeply on your victim or enemies.
Or enemies, Lauren!
Why did you pick us as your enemies?
At office, school, ex-wife, etc. Or friend, any person you intend to help. White pin is for good luck.
Oh, so we have the white pin. That's good.
Black pin is for evil.
That's what my shit was. It's all that luck.
For extra power, call the Voodoo King in New Orleans.
Get me the
phone. To order your double pins for double power.
No. You can order extra good and evil pins?
There's no phone number.
I feel foolish about this now.
I'd like to speak with the manager in charge of voodoo dolls. Thank you.
Well, I'm going to use this.
Please don't.
I have the black pin out.
That's
now.
Bad.
Don't do that.
Isn't this who I want it to be?
It's still Lauren already called. No, please don't put a black pin in our company.
Gently pierce the
neck. No.
He already did it.
God damn it.
It's done.
Hello, Caster.
See you over.
Mac is telling me. How you doing?
Oh my God.
I'd like a couple voodoo dolls.
Oh, this is awful.
Get this out of my hand.
Why did you do that? Lauren, take out the black pin. Save our lives.
I think my heart is hurting me.
Don't leave the black pin in now, because otherwise we're just going to have a pin laying around the apartment.
Take the black pin out and throw it in the garbage.
Okay.
That's what it wants. I think this is fascinating that...
It's not that fucking hard, Lauren. Take the pin out. Do it.
We're seldom to believe in...
Take it out.
In good magic, but evil magic, I don't have much of a problem believing.
Well, it all comes down to superstition.
Yes.
Are you guys superstitious?
You're a Cubs fan.
It's all null and void. I didn't close my eyes and concentrate.
Oh, that's right. That was on the instructions.
Step two.
Fuck this. I'm a Cubs fan. I have to deal with this all the time.
I'm not superstitious.
Dude, are you superstitious about the Billy Goat curse then?
I try not to be, but I probably am.
Yeah, I'm very superstitious.
I shave before every improv show.
Yeah, I guess
I
wear a different shitty button to every improv show.
You never don't wear a button.
You
that's
know, it's
thing.
It's
like,
a
we
good,
always have a ritual or some sort of thing.
I don't know. That's like a good luck charm
magic.
To me.
Good
what's
luck,
the difference
luck
between
isn't
good,
luck magic? Though?
I know. I know.
It's essentially what it is. You're casting a spell.
I feel
sort.
I'm not casting a spell.
I
when
cast a spell every when time I take out my Gillette chick or my shit quattro.
Or like you know, like blowing on dice. You're like giving it a piece of your magic.
I think it affects your subconscious. Like if I don't wear a dumb button with like a picture of a steak on it or something, if I don't have that affixed to my body during shows, I'm like, you know, oh fuck, I forgot my button. But in the back of my mind, I'm like, I forgot my button.
It's a superstition that you impart on yourself. Because you were doing improv and doing well at improv before you wore buttons.
But like a ton of athletes have the same sort of thing. Like they discover something that works. Like, you know, a pitcher threw a no-hitter on a day that he shaved. So like he knows that, I don't know, whatever went right with that day. Yeah. I at least did that, so I'm going to keep doing that.
Until I have a show where I deem that it's like a bad show for me, I'm going to shave before every improv show. I shave.
If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
And then,
yeah, exactly.
Then he's going to have to take a couple months off because he's going to have to try to do it like a full-on beehive.
No, I don't know. I'll probably still shave. I don't know. I'll see what happens when I come to it.
I do similar things, but... I'm real superstitious, especially in when I was younger. But I had so many, like, it was just like things would go wrong, and then I'd be like, "Well, this fucking rabbit's foot I bought, you know, is bullshit." I still get. Remember? You remember when I got a rabbit's foot like a couple years ago?
Yes, I do remember that.
You know what was hilarious about me getting this rabbit's foot? Is not only did it not bring me good luck, but it stained my pants.
That's a lot.
Are you kidding?
What?
Hot pink
because
pants.
No, because it's just a rabbit's foot that's dyed something usually, right? And I put it on my keychain, and that goes in my pocket.
Yep.
And then like a week later, I just noticed giant stains in my jeans, and I'm like, what the fuck is this? And I realized it was like because I was sweating, and then it would just the sweat would get into the pocket, and it would just drip and fucking spread everywhere.
Magenta pocket.
It's ridiculous. Yeah. Like, talk about bad luck.
Can't they not use actual rabbit's feet now?
I don't know.
I'm sure they can't.
Why not?
Sure they can't, like, jam a keychain on the end of, like, the foot of a rabbit corpse.
Why not?
Yeah, you're right. I was just thinking, like, what... I do wonder
if
what
I did
the
it with
origin,
a chicken, would that be different?
Like, did somebody just have, like, somebody... won like a house or something. I guess it would have to be more antiquated than somebody
they
won
had
a
alligator
house.
Heads in New Orleans, like, on keychains and stuff.
It's so messed up.
Yeah, it'd
be
like
a real alligator.
I had a great date. My baby. I had a son born today, and he looks amazing. We were worried about he was gonna get sick, and he's turned out great. This is such a good lucky day. Oh. I'm holding on to this rabbit's stump of a foot.
Yeah,
I forgot to put my rabbit's foot in the drawer, as I always do.
And then the next time he has a baby, he wants it to come out good again. He wants to have that same luck he did. So, and he notices he's just had that stump of a rabbit corpse.
Well, and a horseshoe is lucky too, right? And a four-leaf clover. Why is the four-leaf clover
Keith,
lucky?
Keith is someone who's supposed to have good luck. Keith talks about how he always has good luck. Mm-hmm. Keith finds four-leaf clovers more than anybody I've ever met in my life.
Really?
I've never found a four-leaf clover in my life. Keith has found, like, you know, 25.
Yeah, I've seen him find four-leaf clovers in, like gas station grassy areas.
Yeah, he just walks around looking for this shit, and he finds four-leaf
so
clovers.
I'd be so bored if I was here. Where the fuck is Keith going? He's looking for four-leaf clovers.
I've always found money randomly in nature.
Oh, that's great.
That's cool. Awesome.
Yeah, like when I was a kid, I would just randomly find like 15 bucks at a museum. This one time, we were at a gas station, and there was this payphone that was all taped up, and I just broke the tape because I was waiting for my mom. I hit the coin return, and all the change came out.
That's awesome.
I guess that's more like robbing.
As you're saying, this live stream user Boner3000 is saying, that's free God money.
Yeah. Oh, this one time, it was great. I was driving down the road with my friend, and I was driving. And he just goes, Scott, do you see that? And I'm like, what? He goes, pull over, this is money. And there's all these bills just floating in the air.
What?
And we just pull over our car, and we're just grabbing bills out of the air.
How much money?
It was like tens and twenties and fifties.
What?
There, we found a couple hundreds.
This isn't real.
This is honest to God, 100% true.
That's every person's dream.
All these people started pulling over.
Was there a camera?
No, it was just in the middle of the road somewhere. And there are all these cars pulling over, this motorcycle pulls over, and everyone's grabbing money. We ended up driving away as quick as we could. We got like 250 bucks, just random money.
Whoa!
You had no idea where it's from either.
Never found out. So don't care.
Who gives a shit? God, that's awesome.
We went and bought pizza and beer.
Just dropped that.
That's magic.
That is magic.
What is that for the economy? They should do that.
Magic exists.
They should do that more for the economy, because if you find magic,
no, that'd be terrible. It's called inflation.
Well, yeah, well, this is better inflation because it forces you to want to spend it because it's magic money from the sky.
So are you suggesting that the Fed takes out money from our budget every year and reserves it just for wind money?
Tins, it's not wind money. It's magic money.
I found $40 on the ground at Disney World.
No,
on
my home. But Scott, didn't you? So of that $40... Did you spend a bunch of that 40?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Right,
so that money directly gets put back into the economy, thus boosting.
Brian, we went directly to France and bought a bottle of wine.
Do you realize you are the epitome of every stereotype right now? Where you just say, you know what we should do to fix the economy? Governments just take a bunch of money and just dump it into the wind for whoever's around to get it.
And, I saw that on Fox News.
We'll just throw all the money around, fucking whoever wants it. And
Gustavo, you wouldn't see that on Fox News. It's a Democrat idea. You just take a bunch of money and throw it at people.
Yeah. I wouldn't watch Fox News either. It's a joke.
But like, that's the kind of thing. Like, yeah, that's the real.
Second you find your magic money. You spend it.
The most money.
You're
like,
you're
not
investing that.
I never invested any of my magic money. Right. I came home and said, Amy, I got magic money. Let's go get dinner.
Yeah, the most money I've ever found was like $80, and I spent it right away.
Yeah.
I was with Mario.
It's magic money.
There's a story. Okay, I'm going to tell you. This isn't my story. This is a friend of mine, but it's called The Luckiest Lobster. And it was my favorite story.
Life story has a title?
It was my buddy Bill.
Is this a fictional story?
No, this actually happened. He was out somewhere. He was out at a bar, and they had one like it's like a claw machine, but it's lobsters. You pick a lobster out of the tank, and he just on a whim he was talking to his buddy who had never had lobster before. And he's like, I'm gonna go get a lobster. So he went and put a dollar in.
Wait, like a prize claw game?
Yeah,
but for
it's a
lobster.
What,
for
so it picks out
living
your lobster.
Lobsters?
Yeah,
I'd rather not have to use skill to get my food.
But you could get a lobster for like a buck then.
Oh, so if you catch a lobster, you get your meal for super fucking cheap?
Yeah.
Dude, you get a dollar so lobster.
Wow. That's a great idea.
Lobster. The luckiest lobster.
Okay,
the luckiest lobster. The claw grabs the lobster, right?
Uh-huh.
And it's pulling up the lobster. The lobster grabs onto the side of the tank, right, with his claw.
Oh, no.
And everyone's around just looking at it. He can't hold on. He lets go, and he just thuds. It's a pretty deep drop. He just thuds onto the ground. And so they got this lobster, but the kitchen was closed. So he got a coupon to come back and get a free lobster dinner some night. And the lobster got to go back in the tank.
Oh.
And he lived to see another day to get eaten later.
That truly is the luckiest
and then,
lobster.
And then, so he won the lobster dinner. And then on his way out, he found a $100 bill.
Whoa.
Are
you kidding me?
That's a real lucky lobster.
Yeah.
It's like the lobster granted him a wish.
Yeah,
like that's exactly what it is. Because
he let him go free.
Yeah.
If you believe in magic, maybe that lobster.
Did you wish?
Genies are pretty wild, man.
Oh, I wish I had a genie.
Me too.
Oh, the irony. If you had a genie, you'd probably be allowed to wish.
Lauren Imony, if you went to the Cave of Wonders and rubbed your magic lamp, what three wishes would you wish for? And
go!
Freeing the genie does not count as one of them.
What? I would want to free the genie.
No.
No.
Genie is forever trapped. What are your three wishes?
Do it.
Oh, jeez. For all of us to, Octavarius to be amazing.
Yes, okay.
The foresights for that. And then, world peace.
World peace second.
And then something for me.
Oh, you're reserving one wish for just yourself?
Everyone has to be a little
okay, well, what would it be? What would it be?
She found it.
Oh, my God, think about it. This is a big deal.
You can have anything or anyone.
You have 5 seconds or it's all gone.
Five.
I must go.
Just by 11 and the entire, and a lot of money.
The cutest boy in the world. My last wish.
If I was a genie, I'd want to be like a trickster genie where I'd grant you wishes, but with terrible side effects.
Like Kimoto from Twisted Metal?
I would,
like the Jin from Wishmaster?
Yeah. Like if you wished, if I was your genie and you wished for Joseph Gordon-Levitt to be with you forever, I'd do that, but I'd also get the entire rest of the cast of Third Rock from the Sun to live with you forever.
I would like have it at Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
I love Joseph.
Have you guys seen Bedazzled?
Yes.
That's exactly what that is. Isn't it? Yeah.
I'd like Joseph Gordon-Levitt to be fused to her. Like a Siamese. Like a terrible Siamese twin. His legs are coming out of your stomach.
Oh my God.
I take it back. I'd ask for powers. I'd ask for magic. Because
would you still
have to have
John Lithgow then?
Not John Lithgow.
Yeah.
Yeah, the cast of
the entire. Oh, no,
I would love to be a sorcerer.
Lauren!
What?
Lauren, I'm hungry.
Money.
Lauren, come see my play. I'm in a new play.
Money, time machine, superpowers. That's it.
Time machine.
Oh, time machine's too crazy.
It's dangerous.
I don't want to deal with the space-time continuum.
I do. I'll take care of it. Don't worry about
that. I will fuck it up. I will wish for a state.
Yeah, wish for a time machine that won't do that.
With time machine exactly. Powers, you can get money.
Can you be that specific in your wish? Is that how that goes?
My genie girl.
So,
you just
give your genie like
home,
yeah,
like a written statement, like a legal statement. You'd probably have to check it over.
At the very least, yeah, I'd have to write it all down myself just so I could make sure I'm getting all
like,
fine.
Hello,
I would definitely
Williams.
Make a legal statement.
Oh yeah, dude. Under addendum paragraph 3, section 6B. Clause 8.
Because the genie did fuck over Aladdin a little bit.
A little bit, because he had a sense of humor, yeah. Son of a bitch.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
These magician people.
There's
they
good genies
wacky.
And bad genies.
Listen.
There's good magicians and bad magicians.
There's good evil and bad evil,
stay
guys.
Stay away from the bad ones.
Just stay Thank away from you. The bad ones, you'll be fine.
You can tell them who's a bad one. They all wear black.
No,
that's not true.
Cloud said totally convincing.
In Harry Potter, you know, the ones
they wear
who
black
are
cloaks.
Slytherins, yeah, and the ones
you
who wear
the Deathly
Mask. You can
tell by the way they look. If they're all pretty and put together, it's more likely they're good.
If they're more Hermione looking,
they're all creepy and...
The devil would
Why
never
Why can't
look
a creepy
like
looking guy be a nice guy?
Great. You just want Why? Me to eyeball it.
Yeah, that's
so,
exactly what
so
it is.
So to tell if someone's evil, eyeball it.
If you got nothing...
It'll be okay.
So if he's creepy, he's automatically evil?
Not automatically, but... That's
but
it's
very
really
likely
look.
That he's evil. So use
that's
extreme
true.
Caution.
You had to choose. Like, if you're in this situation.
This is well, not, I would not want to go to Hogwarts with you.
Oh, I'll go.
Thanks, Lauren.
That's a shocker.
Lauren, we've managed to get you to not really talk about Harry Potter that much,
know,
this entire podcast.
I mentioned Voldemort in like the first 5 minutes, and then I was like, no, I'm going to chill out.
Oh, God bless you.
This is kind of like, if ever you were gonna give us a fun
yeah, you
Harry
throw
Potter
out your
quip.
Boner there?
Yeah, throw it out there.
What?
Throw out your boner.
We can have Harry Potter time.
Lauren
Harry Potter
out
time.
Boner.
And now's the time where Lauren talks about Harry Potter. Harry Potter time!
Harry Potter's totally...
Hey, that new movie's coming out, huh, Lauren?
Yeah, well, part one's coming to DVD, like, this Friday.
I hear they just released the movie poster for the second Deathly Hallows movie.
And they
movie.
Have the trailer out now, which looks super fantastic.
What are your... Okay, so good feelings?
Good feelings, except I really don't like this director. I wish they would have...
Same director from the first movie, I assume, yes?
No.
Or the first Deathly Hallows
yes,
movies,
yeah,
I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But,
he also did the one before that, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's done...
He is shitty.
Yeah, he's all right.
No
he's
doubt
done
about
5,
it.
6, and 7.
Dude,
yeah.
They need to bring back Alfonso Cuarón.
That's what I was saying.
Was
yes.
You too, Mama Tom Bien, por favor.
Yes.
He was great.
He
and
was
did
great.
You know in one of the scenes when they were shooting, when they were like only 13 or 14 years old, he just yelled, give me a sex scene!
That's okay. You just said, give me a sex scene. Those kids don't know what it fucking means.
Yeah.
All right, Lauren, if you could take any Hogwarts class imaginable, what would it be? What one class would you take? And you have to do all the homework for it, too.
This is true.
I mean, you know, first go Defense Against the Dark Arts, but second, I would probably say Charms, because you could do So, you know, you can do some really cool...
Why do you want spells. Defense against the dark arts? Are there a lot of dark arts coming at you?
That's like the hardcore stuff.
Got a lot of voodoo dolls.
So you want to be hardcore first and then spells later?
Well, you learn a lot of good spells in Defense Against the
That's
dark
true.
Arts. I mean, first you gotta learn how to protect yourself. You gotta learn how to duel, and then you can learn.
I don't know.
How
I don't
duel.
Goes. I don't know karate, and I've been okay like my with my life. I haven't had to whip out my karate skills.
He doesn't have but to battle the forces of darkness that often.
Yeah, like I've been okay.
But
like,
what if you did?
My main struggle is like, will I get a seat on the L or the bus? And if not, oh well. Yeah. Like, I'm not going to fight anyone about it.
I mean, like, if you're a
with
Hogwarts,
the spell
you got more...
Stupefy, you'll always...
Lauren...
although Transfiguration would be cool.
I was going to say, Transfiguration, that was McGonagall's class, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, correct me if I'm wrong, Transfiguration is just turning things into other things, right?
Yeah.
I always found that kind of boring as a prospect for an entire class. Like, you would spend 2 weeks
learning
how to turn a cup into, a duck. But then you have to spend... Like, there's just so much shit you have to learn how to turn into so much other different shit.
You could be Animagus and you could turn yourself into an animal. How cool would that be?
Why can't I just take the advanced course then?
Well, I'm sure you have to master the basics.
Why do I want to be an animal? I can just be me and awesome.
Yeah, but if you were a fox, you'd be really tiny and you'd run fast.
I can already turn TVs into foxes.
Yeah,
though.
Like I can turn shit into other shit. Like, what do I need?
But like, you could be like a bird or something. That'd be cool. You can't feel like a bird.
Dude,
or...
I'm human. I'm the ultimate animal. I can use tools. It's
can
great.
Can you fly?
Yeah, man. I can fucking make two eagles out of
pencil
sharpeners.
But if you can turn into something and then just go back to being a man, you could experience everything.
I can ride my eagles.
I'm imagining
you ride an eagle.
I'm imagining right now like a soup's creepy super evil transfiguration guy student who in his spare time he like turns like he'll turn televisions into rabbits and then he'll turn himself into like a bear and just eat that rabbit.
Why would you think of that?
What about you, Scott?
Well,
you're a
makes
big
sense.
Harry Potter fan. What class would you want to take?
What would I take?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. Probably potions. I'd probably take a potions class.
Yeah, you'd be.
I'd just be like a 5-star bartender.
Or a date
rapist.
Really good drinks.
Or a date rapist. Yeah, I guess I could be that too.
I'm just saying, not everybody
like
takes potions
bit
as a date rapist, but every date rapist takes the potions class and does all their homework.
And you could do the Felix Felicis.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
That's just pretty wild. That's a lot of power for one man, those potions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you were a bartender, you'd be at a key spot.
I'd do Quidditch.
Ooh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Quidditch would be fun.
I've always been into sports.
Yeah.
Hey, you know it's a shitty class? Runes. Fuck that.
What's runes? I'm not...
You just read... You learn how to read, like, the runic alphabet. So you can read, like, ancient runes, perhaps left by wizards and witches.
Oh,
fuck that. You get an iPhone app.
Yeah.
An iPhone app that just reads your runes your for you.
I wonder if that shit would be magic to Hogwarts people, just being like, I got an iPhone, bitch. Boop, boop.
That'd be the best we
They'd
got.
Turn your iPhone
well,
into
we got
a
rocket ships.
It's Muggle wizardry.
Yeah.
We've got robots.
There's an app for this. Muggles.
You know, that's kind of cool. Robots are like
magical,
oh,
yeah, I have a wizard detector.
That's true, because one thing that's strange in the Harry Potter world that actually I really love about it is that they still, it's very old in a sense, is that they still light candles, and that's what a lot of what they use for their light. Or,
even though they should
you
know,
be. They just get
advanced.
Some damn light bulb.
Yeah, you know, like, they don't have TV very, I mean, well, not really. I mean, it seems like the technology is definitely not a part of that world at all. But why isn't it? You know what I mean?
It's magic! That's why we have technologies, because we don't have magic yet. You know? So we need chainsaws to cut things in half, and we need phones to send messages to one another, and light bulbs to illuminate things. We just had magic, everything. We wouldn't need technology.
I think we'll acquire magic once we figure out how to actually use the Force.
Yeah, man, the Force.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. One of my wishes would be Jedi.
Yeah,
Jedi.
Man.
Lightsaber.
Yeah.
Force.
People
say
maybe
that'll
be the
2012
awesome. Thing. We'll discover the Force.
Probably.
Yeah. Maybe that's the
I'm
new.
Probably.
I'm hoping.
What if that's the new element that they've been talking about?
The force.
Yeah, nobody else in the podcast knows what the hell you're talking about.
And we don't have the time to go into it.
Well, yeah. It's been a great podcast. You'll never know what the hell Lauren said.
Yeah. We actually are running quite short on time. Oh, boy. This is weird. Makula's not here.
No. Oh, oh we right. Can't say seven words or not.
Can you say a word?
Yeah, there are seven of us right now. We can just say a word.
Okay.
Seven words.
Now it's time for Octavarius's seven words of wisdom.
Eight.
Go ahead.
Eight.
This has been
Octavarius's seven words of wisdom.
Scotland D. Steals the podcast.
Steals the podcast.
Nicely done.
Well, we can't do
seven.
It was close as well.
It was. it mimicked
Makula's perfectly, I think.
Yeah, actually.
Yeah.
It's not as easy as it looks, huh?
Until next week, thanks for listening, everybody. Remember to check back every Monday for a fresh podcast and check into livestream.com/Octavarius every Monday about 9:45 p.m. To chat with us and listen live. Also, be sure to follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Our handle is @Octavarius.
Chicago Improv Festival.
Yeah, make sure you come and see us headline the final night of the Chicago Improv Festival, May 1st, at Comedy Sports, 929 West Belmont, at 7 p.m. That's a Sunday.
It's $10.
Yeah, yep. Make sure you stay afterwards for the sweet-ass party we're going to
have. We'll also have openers like 123 Fag and Jessica.
It is actually a really big show for us, and it's a really big big honor to have this closing slot.
What's that theme, guys? Isn't there a theme?
Prom.
Prom.
Oh, that's right. Sweet.
Improm.
Improm. Like a big fucking prom party.
So feel free to wear that 80s prom dress.
Yeah, dress up. We're going to dance.
Why from the 80s?
Because those are the fun ones.
If you wear one from the 90s, it's okay. Or the 2000s.
They sell them at Rackstock. It has a specific sign that says 80s prom.
That's great, Lauren.
Oh, great. They'll be totally covered. Please check that out once again, because it's pretty huge for us, and we want to make it as awesome as we can. But until then, this has been the Octavarius Podcast. Have 8 days and a wicked week. Goodbye.
Don't run for your life. You're running out of time. Close and lock the door.
He's coming back to me.
Merlin. Jennifer Baird said Merlin as magic person.